encourage you to turn to Matthew in chapter 2, and I am not going to be long this morning and try to be very direct, but I do want to read a little bit of what we would call the Christmas story, what we would look at part of the Nativity, if you will. And I want to look at Matthew in chapter number 2, and I just want to look at the response of the society, I guess we could say, at the coming of Christ, how the world responded to Christ coming to this earth. And we praise the Lord. You study Mary and Joseph, and their response was just that they humbled themselves to the plan of God. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph and Mary. But that was not the case for everyone who had a part in what we would refer to as the Christmas story. So if you would, in Matthew in chapter number 2, we're going to read in verse number 1. And I'm going to read down through verse number 18. If you're able to, in honor of the Word of God, stand with me today. And we want to give reverence to the Word of God. And we look in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled," and look at this, "and all Jerusalem with him." Verse 4. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus is it is written by the prophets.'" And that would be the prophet Micah, Micah 5:2. It says in says in verse number 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel." And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent unto them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring the word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" And that would be Hosea 11 and verse 1. Verse 16. "And Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah of the prophet, saying in Jeremiah 31:15, 'In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not.'" Let's have a word of prayer, and then I want to just consider these thoughts that we've read for just a moment about the importance of knowing Christ and having Christ as part of your Christmas celebration. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we understand the prophets have foretold of what we read here today. And it did come to pass as you had foretold it to be. And Lord, if we can count on these prophecies being true, we know the future prophecy of your coming again is also true and is sure. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here today would be prepared for you to come, that we wouldn't be found as Herod, that we would not be found as those in Jerusalem, the prophets and the scribes who were not prepared at all for your coming. But Lord, that we would be ready when you come. Lord God, would you help us this morning as we just consider just a few thoughts today. And God, would you be blessed in the reading of your word. And Lord, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our story begins with what we'll call a troubling question. There was a troubling question presented unto Herod, and that question was, where is Jesus? Where is the King of the Jews? And it was posed by a group of men that we know as the wise men. That's what they are called, the magi, some would call them. And you say, well, who are these men? And we know that they're wise men from the east. That's pretty much all we know about them. And so, where exactly from the east? We don't rightly know. I mean, there's a supposition that's written into these guys and about these guys, but the quite honest truth is that we just know this about them. They were wise and they're from the east. So somewhere east of Jerusalem, somewhere east of the nation of Israel is where they had come from. And we say, well, why did they come? They came that they might be able to worship the King of the Jews. And so, these magi would some would just call them magicians. We would understand this, that obviously they were somewhat associated with astrology. Which would not be odd if you would consider the history of the Eastern nations, those nations that are east of the nation of Israel. Astronomy would have been a very big thing unto them, and there would have been those that studied astronomy, and they also would have been those who were scholars. We can just know these because at some point in time they saw a star. Meant that they were looking up into the sky at some point in time, and they understood that there was something different about this star, and they began to study this star. The star didn't talk to them and tell them that there was a King of the Jews being born in Judea. Amen. Stars don't talk. Praise the Lord. All right, good. We're on the same page. So the star didn't directly talk to them. They didn't. The Bible doesn't tell us that they had some direct revelation from God, but they were able to look and to see and to study and to know the things that were taking place. They were able to deduce enough to understand that there was somewhere in the land of Judea, there was somewhere in Israel, that there was a king that had been born. And you say, well, where in the world could they have got that? You can actually go back to the book of Numbers. As the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, and clear back into the book of Numbers, there was a king of Moab, which would be, guess what, east of Jerusalem, east of Israel. And king of Moab's name was Balak. And Balak wanted to destroy the nation of Israel, and he hired a prophet named Balaam to curse the nation of Israel. And the problem was, every time Balaam wanted to curse the nation of Israel, he ended up blessing the nation of Israel, and he couldn't curse. God wouldn't allow him to curse the nation of Israel because they were heading unto the place God had commanded them to be. And so in the prophecies that Balaam did give, though, we see this wonderful blessing that Balaam gave unto the nation of Israel. He says this in Numbers 24 and verse number 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, Israel. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And a scepter shall arise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, and Seir and all shall be possessions of his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. I'm just telling you that it was foretold to those nations of the east that there was going to be a star up here, and there was going to be a scepter that was raised up in Israel. And these men, after seeing the star, after studying what was taking place, had come to Jerusalem from the east for to be able to worship the Christ child. And as they come to worship the Christ child, they present this very troubling question to the king of Israel, Herod. Where is the king of the Jews? This troubling question fell upon troubled people. This troubling question fell upon troubled people. Herod was a very troubled man. If you study Herod the Great throughout history, he's a fascinating character to study. If you study some of his accomplishments, he was a great man of wealth. He was a great man of government. He was a very accomplished builder, and he was a visionary. But at the same time, he was also very troubled within his soul. He was a man that was haunted within his soul, and he was a man that was very committed to his very own power. He very much was. Again, if you study him, you'll find out that he was a tyrant, and he was one that was going to squash anyone that had any kind of threat to pose unto his kingdom. Now, if you also know this about him, you know that he was not of the Jewish nation. He was actually an Ottoman, and he had no real right to the throne of Israel, aside from that which was given unto him from the Roman Senate, but he was very much committed to the fact that he was going to protect his kingdom, and no one was going to threaten his kingdom, to the point that he was willing to take the lives of his brothers. No, his own brothers that might threaten his kingdom, and his sister, and his children. No, he was willing to kill his one of, and we know at least of one of his 10 wives that he killed. No, that at one point in time during his earthly reign, he thought that they were going to bring some kind of threat unto his kingdom that he was in charge of, and he didn't want anything threatening his kingdom, and he wanted to protect his kingdom. So therefore, he was very interested in destroying anyone who posed any kind of threat at all to his kingdom. That's the way the world works. Kingdoms are the dominions of men on this earth, and men don't come that they might, and don't build a dominion so that it might be taken from them. They build a dominion so that they might be in charge, so that they might be king. And that's just the way of this world, that men try to rise in their authority. Men try to build themselves up in their power. And men are interested in holding a position of authority. That's just where men like to be. We like to be large and in charge. And that's just all of humanity, really. That's just not just of Herod himself. That wasn't just true of times in the Bible. That's true of all of humanity and all of history. That men try to rise in power over one another by any means possible. Men are going to achieve for themselves what they desire to have. The way of this world is this. It is that we are trying to set ourselves up as kings. That we are in charge. I'm telling you, our own individual lives, while that might be true on a national level, while that might be true on a historical level, and while that might be true of all kingdoms of all times, listen, it's also true that happens because we as individuals have determined that we are a kingdom unto ourselves, and we don't want people telling us what to do, and we don't want, especially people we don't agree with, telling us what to do. It seems like in America today, we're more than happy to do what people we agree with tell us to do, but we aren't. Anyway, political, but I'm sorry. But understand with me, that is a tenet of man. That we establish ourselves as superior. That we want to establish ourselves as dominant. That we desire to be our own king. It's a tenet of humanity and of man's humanity. But it was also come to a troubled people because we'd understand it was a troubling question in verse number 3. It was troubled Herod, troubled him. But it also, if you look there in verse number 3, it troubled all of Jerusalem. It says, and all Jerusalem with him. We understand this question that was posed, where is the king of the Jews, was troubling not only to the kings of this world and to those who had established their kingdoms on this world, it was also troubling, if I can, to the religious establishment of the day. very troubling to the religious establishment of the day. It's sad to think about that those who the prophecies had been given to, Israel. I mean, in this very chapter, we see three different times where the prophets are named. We see Micah that is quoted in this chapter. We see Hosea that's quoted in this chapter. We see Jeremiah that's quoted in this chapter. And guess what? They weren't the only prophets of the Old Testament that foretold of the Messiah that was coming. And the other sad news is this, that when Herod inquired of the religious establishment, the priests and the scribes, just where is this king going to be born? They knew exactly what the prophecy was, and they knew exactly from whence it was coming. And in all their religion, they had a great head knowledge about the coming of the Messiah, but they had no anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. And those who should have been looking the most for the coming of the Messiah had no concern at all that he had come, or that he was coming, or even the excitement about the potential that he did come. They kind of got so lost in their religion. They got so lost in what they were doing, and things were going so well in the nation of Israel during this time. I mean, here the world was building the religious crowd. They were building them a temple. Woo! Praise the Lord. And it was a glorious temple as well. Herod didn't build anything at a small scale, and he didn't leave anything to be done, to be outdone, if you will. No, you look at the buildings of Herod. Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea by the sea. A beautiful city. If you look at his architecture that you can even look at today, and you go into Herodian, which I'm telling you, the mere construction of Herodian, if you would go to look at it, it's a marvel of human feet to see what they did there. And not only that, most of you are familiar with a place called Masada. Masada, very historical place. And Herod built that as well in a place where you'd think there's no reason to build here at all. What would be the profit of building here? And yet Herod built one of the most impenetrable fortresses there on the top of Masada. I mean, Herod didn't do anything small, and the temple that he was building them was magnificent, and they were so enthralled with what was going so good that they got themselves and their eyes off of the Messiah that was to come. No, it was a troubling question to all of Israel, because they, wait a minute, this wasn't what we were planning on. No, they as well, had set themselves up to be ruling and reigning, and they didn't even have time for the Messiah when he came. I'm talking about religious people. When the Messiah did come, they had no time for him whatsoever, because they had all their religion planned out. No, we know how this religious game works. We know how this all plays out, And we aren't ready for the Messiah. Israel still today, listen, in all of their religion, and in all their pomp and circumstance, and in all the rituals they do, guess what? They still aren't ready for the coming of the Messiah. They're still looking for that to take place. And the religious world, those who should have known them best and should have been the most well prepared, and those who should have been stopped and go, wait a minute, well, we missed something. I mean, you're telling me the Messiah is here. Let's all go to Bethlehem. Let's all go and see. Let's all go and find out what's going on. No. They were so enthralled with the things that the world was providing for them. Listen up. Come on. They were so enthralled with the things that the world was able to provide for them that they had no time for the things of God. Wake up, church, come on. And we can be just as guilty of that same, that we can be so enthralled with the things that the world has to offer, we can be so enthralled with the way the church wants to be like, that we can be try to be more like the world than we can to be more like Christ. And we can seek more after the things of this world than we are after the things of Almighty God. I'm telling you, this troubled question was brought to a troubled people, and their response was troubling as well. And a very troubled response. The world wanted to destroy him. That's what Herod's idea was. Listen, no, I'm king. We'll just do away with this imposter. He is not king. He's not going to rule and reign here. No, sir. I'm ruling and reigning here. We don't have any room for Christ. We don't have any room for the Messiah. We don't have any need of him. I'm in charge. I can handle things. Yep. And so he inquired in verse number 7. Wait a second. You followed a star here, and the star was what told you that the Messiah was here. And when did this star appear? I mean, he inquired diligently of them. So that means that Messiah came at the time of the star. And so whenever that star appeared was when the Messiah came. Sometime between now and then is when this Messiah, this King of the Jews supposedly has come. And why don't you go find him and then come back and tell me and we'll all worship him together. No, go back down to verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children of that were in Bethlehem and in the coast of all in all the coast thereof. Look at this, from 2 years old and under. Why? According to the time which had been diligently inquired of the wise men. These Gentiles had searched and studied and sought for 2 full years. Wonder, man, there's something about this star. There's a prophecy that's been given. We must find the answer. We must seek after God. We must find this one who is going to arise, and all other nations are going to be put under his footstool. And to their response, the troubling thing is that the world said, no, we don't want this king rising up. We will destroy him. Well, the religious world was indifferent. But they eventually, because of their indifference, came around to the ways of the world. No. Because of the religious indifference that they had, they eventually came around to the way of the world, and their response to Jesus was, no, we don't want him to be king over us. Crucify him! Crucify him! Became their response as well. They had a very troubling response. My question for you today is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? No. The Bible tells us that he came that we may know that we have eternal life. Amen. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, he came for that very purpose, that we might know that we have salvation. He came for the purpose that we might know who he is, that we might be, and this is a big Bible word, but that we might be reconciled unto God, the Bible says. He desires that we would be brought back into fellowship with him. We who were afar off, he has brought back unto himself, that we might be able to have fellowship with him. Do you know Jesus? These men, as they saw the prophecies and as they saw the things that God had spoken and delivered unto them, just a few bits and pieces that they had there in the book of Numbers, somehow they were able to deduce from those things that there is a Messiah. Maybe they had more of the law. Maybe they had more of the writings of the prophets. I don't know. But I know that there was a message delivered to the east. This is the only one I do know about, is the one in the book of Numbers. And from what they were able to gather and from what they were able to deduce, they were able to find out that there was a king, and there was a Messiah, and he was to be worshipped, and he was going to reign. Amen. Yeah, they were all excited about it. But the world wasn't excited about it. Yes. And the religious crowd wasn't excited about it. And I'm asking you today, are you excited about it? That Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul said. That's why he came. He came that we might be able to know that we have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Do you know Christ? Are you here today? You say, well, I know about Christ. No, the question isn't whether you know about Christ. The religious crowd, listen, they knew all about Christ. They knew all about where he was going to come. They knew all about that. But listen, they still did not know him. And worse than that, they had no in their religion. They had no desire to know him. So I'm asking this, not do you know about him, do you know him? Maybe I could ask this. Are you ready for him to come? Are you ready for him to come? The world wasn't ready for him to come. The religious crowd was not ready for him to come. But listen, these wise men from the east, they were ready for him to come. Are you ready for him to come? My friend, listen. Jesus Christ came and he died, and was buried, and he rose again the third day so that he might be able to save men from their sins. And listen, he didn't come to establish the earthly kingdom that they were looking for him to establish. He was going to establish a kingdom, and he will rule and reign as king. And I'm telling you, he's coming again, and you can go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and you can find out this, that one day there's going to be a trump sound, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But understand this, you can't be prepared for that day and for that coming if you do not know him. You can't be ready for that. You can't be ready for the coming again if you haven't met him here and now. You might take time to think about that. Are you too busy playing king of your life? Being in charge? Being part of the world system? Are you so religious that you miss him and all your religiosity? That might be a made-up word, but I just said it, so it's a word, right? Your religiosity? That I go to church and I read my Bible and I might even give to the poor, and I might have time when I was baptized and I've taken up sacraments and I've done this and I've done that and I've done all sorts of things that this world has told me to do in order for me to be able to know who God is. I'm questioning today this though: do you know him? Because you can do all sorts of things that this world tells you to do, and guess what? You'll still not know him. But Jesus said this. Jesus told us, His word tells us, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You say, well, I do that every night before I go to bed. Well, listen, it's not an every night thing before you go to bed. Jesus, listen, he met a woman by a well side one day in John in chapter 4. And as he was talking to that woman at the well side that day, he was talking to a lady who had been taken in by the world system, married 8 times. I'm telling you, we could just say this of her life. She'd been taken in by this world. She'd been chewed up and spit out. That was her life story. And at the same time, although the world had taken her and abused her and abandoned her, listen to me, at the same time, she was rather a religious woman. Because when Jesus offered her living water, she's like, man, I'd love to have that, and I'd like to have a part of that. And then he began to talk to her as if he was the Messiah, and she said, wait a second, our fathers tell us that in this mountain, and she was a Samaritan, and they had a little different religious ideas than the Jews did. But the reality was still the same, that they had a rejection of the Messiah based upon the religion that they had been taught. I'm not asking anybody to whether or not they accept my religion. I'm not asking anybody whether you're a Baptist. I'm not asking anybody whether or not you go to church or what you ascribe to. I'm not asking anyone that this morning. I'm asking you this question: do you know Christ? Because until you know him, you don't know him. You don't. You say, well, how do I know him? How could I get to know him? Well, over in 1 John. If you go there, I'll be done. 1 John, chapter number 5. 1 John, chapter number 5. Look at what it says in 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Well, what do you mean? I mean, you know. No. If you've truly put your belief in Jesus Christ, guess what? You have a witness. It's called the Holy Spirit within himself. And you know. And that's a blessing. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath given his Son. Well, what record? Well, we're reading it. It's his word. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, verse number 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know him? Are you ready? Are you prepared for his coming? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed today.